recently. The following is a paid political announcement.
We have had a failure in criminal prosecution in Cook County. Almost half the people brought to trial are acquitted. 3 out of every 5 convicted receive probation. 93% of all convictions are the results of deals.
Edward J. Egan, Democratic candidate for state's attorney.
I say let the public know the facts about my opponent and about me. My performance as a judge was rated outstanding. I was first assistant state's attorney when the office was voted the best in the nation. We set the record for convictions in contested cases. I have personally prosecuted more than 1,000 cases. My opponent has personally prosecuted none. None before becoming state's attorney, none since.
On November 2nd, they elect Edward J. Egan state's attorney. Egan, an outstanding judge, an experienced prosecutor. As state's attorney, he'll crack down on criminals to help protect our communities and families. Paid for by Citizens for Egan.
Weather Command says for the rest of the night, partly cloudy and cool. It will drop down to 53 degrees, but be a bit warmer than that near the lake. Before tomorrow, becoming partly sunny and mild. A very nice day. The high will be about 77 degrees with a 10% chance of rain. And then for Sunday, continued nice, mostly sunny and warmer. A 30% chance of showers. The winds will be diminishing to light and variable tonight. They'll be variable 5 to 10 miles an hour during the day on Saturday. For the next 5 days, temperatures will average 1, 2, 3 degrees above normal. The normal high is 74. The normal low is 55. Moisture will be light as showers Monday and Tuesday. The current temperatures at the lakefront, 63. At O'Hare at 63. At Midway at 64. The humidity is 68%. The wind is northerly at 7 miles an hour.
We're those news people. CBS Radio for the Midwest. News Radio 78. WBBM, Chicago.
It's 10:30.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. The young soldiers fret and worry about the bullet that has their number on it. But it doesn't bother the old soldiers at all. They can feel fatalistic about and resigned to the bullet that has their number. The one that really worries them is the bullet that's labeled to whom it may concern.
Don't come near me.
Rebecca, what are you saying?
Keep away.
But I love you.
Leave here. No.
But we're going to get married.
Go away before I cause something terrible to happen.
Oh, darling, how can you cause something terrible?
Believe me, it will be horrible. A fire.
Rebecca.
A flood.
What are you saying?
Earthquake. Listen. Listen.
Mystery drama, To Whom It May Concern, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Marion Seldes and Ian Martin. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Do you have a taste for things that are a little out of the ordinary?
Look, Doris, it has a clock in its stomach and it glows in the dark.
I think we should snap it up, Dick.
Do you like things that are fun but are also functional?
Look, Dick, this is fun.
Uh-huh, but is it functional, Doris?
Do you want to be the talk of the town?
Oh, Dick and Doris, we were just talking about you.
Then the Opel Isuzu is your kind of car. It's not ordinary, it's fun but functional, and people will talk about it.
Did you hear what Dick and Doris bought?
The Opel Isuzu, a dandy new small car. At your Buick Opel dealers.
This is Helen Van Slyke. I wrote The Heart Listens, a book millions of you enjoyed. Now I've written a sequel called The Mixed Blessing. It continues the life of Elizabeth Quigley and her granddaughter Toni, herself a mixed blessing. Toni's story answers the most agonizing question any woman can face. I call my new book The Mixed Blessing. I hope you'll call it the best modern romance you've ever read. The Mixed Blessing in paperback from Popular Library.
Are you planning to refurbish your present offices, or are you starting a new business and need new office furniture? Stretch your important furniture dollar. Shop at Chicago's only department store of office furnishings, the Office Equipment Company of Chicago, 223 West Lake Street, 236-5858, where you'll find over 40,000 square feet of office furniture, carpet, and accessory displays. The Office Equipment Company of Chicago offers you budget prices on such quality office furniture names as Kimball, Cole, Hahn, Murphy Miller, Chairtex, and many others. All are in stock for immediate delivery. Whether you're furnishing one office or a dozen, a conference room or a cafeteria, you'll find it on display and in stock at the Office Equipment Company of Chicago. Naturally, delivery is free. Call 236-5858 or write for their free 24-page budget catalog or visit their showrooms at 223 West Lake. Plenty of free parking, too. The Office Equipment Company of Chicago, 236-5858.
Something beautiful and vital has gone out of our lives. The ability to just sit back and relax. The difference between us and the generations that preceded ours is that we have learned how to save time, whereas they knew how to enjoy it. They had time, time for everything. And this is the story of a man who lived back then, when there was time, just before World War I. Come with me now to the New York Club of Dr. Adams Mandeville, a place of fine old wine, mellow cigars, gleaming crystal, and easy conversation on a May evening in the year 1915.
Hello there, Dr. Mandeville.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Forbes.
Mind if I join you?
No, please.
We see so little of you here at the club these days.
And I'm afraid you shall see even less. I'm off to London.
London? Oh, you can't be serious. There's a war.
Well, we're not involved.
Not yet.
Nor do I think we ever will be. And in any event, I must go to London.
May I ask why?
Well, we're having the International Conference on Psychiatry.
It's delving into the mind. It's tricky business, no?
Oh, yes.
It does it, can it help your patients?
Well, I don't know how much it helps my patients, but I know it's helped me.
Help you? Well, how?
Let me put it this way. It's going to help me. It's going to save my life.
How can you tell if it's going to save your life?
Do you believe in the angel of death?
Yeah. Angel of death?
Yes.
Well, I suppose, figuratively speaking, in a way, we might assume
that... That was the first question she asked me when she entered my office.
She?
Mrs. Rebecca Orne, a widow, most beautiful woman. Well, when I say woman, I mean a woman of almost 40, when the fair sex are in the glorious august of their beauty, a fully realized woman.
I must say, this doesn't sound like a doctor speaking.
Well, doctors are also men. It was a month ago. She'd made an appointment to see me on the telephone, and when she sat down in my office, her very first question...
Dr. Mandeville, do you believe there is an angel of death?
Why? Why do you ask?
I understand you are one of those new doctors of the mind. The angel of death, is he real, or is he a figment, a creation of my own?
Mrs. Orne, I know of no scientific evidence that can account for the existence of an angel of death, or of life, or of any angel, for that matter.
Well, nor is anyone else such evidence, except perhaps myself.
And what is your evidence, may I ask?
An awareness of his presence.
Uh-huh. What sort of awareness?
A feeling that I'm not alone.
Awareness, feeling, but is there anything tangible?
It's tangible enough to me.
Well, the word tangible literally means something that can be touched.
I know. And I feel his touch.
Where?
all... This may sound indelicate. I feel his touch all over my body.
Yes?
It feels as if I were suddenly chilled by an icy wind, and my skin seems to burn. It sounds contradictory, I know. Ice and fire.
No, no, no. Please continue, Mrs. Owen.
And I feel as if my hand is being taken.
Taken?
Taken in someone's grasp.
You feel a hand.
The fingers of a hand closing on mine.
And you see?
No one. Nothing.
But you feel these fingers.
Yes.
And how do they feel to the touch?
Well, again, fire and ice. Burning fire and cold, cold ice. The icy coldness of death.
And then what happens?
The fingers of the hand that has closed over mine, it seems to hold me in its firm grasp, and it begins to pull me. I cannot, I have no will to resist.
And then?
And then the ice becomes warmer, and the fire becomes cooler, and the fingers of the hand that is holding mine seem to slacken their grip and slip away from me. And suddenly, I feel his presence no longer. He's gone.
You're quite sure of all this?
Oh, yes, it's exactly the same way, each time.
Oh, then this has happened several times.
Oh, yes.
How many?
Oh, innumerable. I have a theory. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, yes, please.
He wants me.
Well, you might say if he exists, he wants all of us. When our time comes.
But I think my time has already come.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
And that he was unable to take me at that time. And since I escaped him, he must keep after me. And it becomes more and more difficult for him each time. And so he tries harder and harder.
And yes, Mrs. Owen?
I've never been able to say so much to any doctor. Most of them would give me pills for my nerves long, long before I could get this far.
Well, I promise to hear you out.
Well, it's about all, except that they keep getting worse and worse.
What keeps getting worse and worse?
The disasters. So many people die. And it's because of me. He doesn't really want them. He wants me. And the reason they die is because they just happen to be there.
Yes.
Well, why do you say yes? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you really understand what I'm saying?
Mrs. Owen, did you have a happy childhood?
Why do you ask?
Well, in psychiatry, we begin with the child.
Well, that makes sense. Yes. Well, it all began with my childhood. That was when he first came for me.
When who came for you?
Well, who have we been talking about? The angel of death.
Oh, yes, of course.
And that's when I felt his grasp for the first time. It happened when I was 5 years old. We were living in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Now, that name seems familiar.
I'll never forget. I was in the kitchen of our house. We had a farm, a big farm, about 500 acres. And I remember there was an argument. Mama and Papa were having a fight. It was about the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club. These were the very wealthy men who owned the property where the dam was located.
Now, Mama, be reasonable.
Be reasonable? Have you
lost your mind?
No, I haven't lost my mind. What's more, it's a found $100.
Well, I don't want that money. Now, you post the no-hunting signs this year like every other year.
Mama, it's just for 10 days, and the only ones who'll be allowed to hunt are members of the club.
Look, I won't have people tramping all up and down the property, firing off guns every which way.
Mama, these are all millionaires, rich men. They have a lot of respect for private property. And they know how to hunt very good, too.
Well, don't they have all that property of their own around the dam?
Wait, you know that over by the South 40 is where all the deer trails cross.
And another thing, I'm against killing poor dumb animals.
And so am I. But for $100...
And what about Rebecca?
Rebecca?
She goes running around the woods all the time. Now, with all them hunters shooting away, I...
Well, so, for the next 10 days, you got to keep her in the house.
How can I keep the child cooped up all day?
For $100, you better find a way to do it.
She laid down the law in no uncertain terms. I was a restless child, filled with unlimited energy. I couldn't sit still. I always wanted to be where I wasn't. And so, one afternoon, when Mama stretched out for her nap, I was just out the door, running through the woods, happy the way only a child can be. And I heard a voice suddenly shout,
"Look out, Andy!"
But the voice was too late. There was a noise and a flash, a dull blow against my chest. That was the first time I felt the icy cold and burning hot fingers close about my hand, and the gentle pull that urged me forward. And I heard a voice.
Hey, good Lord, Andy, you killed her. Look at the blood. The bullet went right through her chest, through her heart. Oh, she must be dead.
I was dead. At least I thought I was dead. I should have been dead. The angel of death had come for me. But suddenly, the fingers that grasped my hand loosened their grip. The ice became warm, the fire cool, and I just slipped away from him, or he from me. And I was free.
You were shot through the heart?
Yes.
Could the bullet have missed?
No.
But surely...
Oh, the doctors came from miles around. The best doctors. The club saw to that. They were amazed.
Well, how did they account for it?
They didn't. Those doctors couldn't. They said perhaps the bullet broke as it hit my chest and just a small piece of it penetrated my heart. Or perhaps the tissue was able to repair itself. But really, they were only guessing. I was shot through the heart. That much is certain.
And you lived.
That much is obvious. I lived through other things, too. I was bitten by a copperhead a year or two later.
Well, people do survive snake bites.
Oh, rattlesnake bites sometimes. But very few folks are ever actually bitten by copperheads. And those that are...
You're very lucky. Very imaginative. You know, you're a charming lady, Mrs. Owen. May I ask why you have never remarried?
Because I'm frightened.
Of marriage?
I believe I told you. The angel of death is so intent on capturing me that those around me are always in danger.
Well, you're sitting here in my office. Am I in danger now?
Yes, Doctor.
How?
I don't know. The building might collapse.
It's not likely. It's a new building constructed of steel and stone.
There might be an earthquake.
There never have been any here in the East.
Or a flood.
Well, hardly.
Well, there was a flood once. Actually, it was 26 years ago. When I told you I came from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, you said the name seemed familiar. Do you remember why now?
Yes, of course. The flood, the famous flood.
The Johnstown flood.
Were you there at the time?
Yes.
And you lived through it?
Yes, I lived through it. Unfortunately.
Now, why do you say unfortunately?
Because it wasn't fair that I should survive. I really deserved to die. I caused the flood, Doctor.
I'm the one to blame for the Johnstown flood.
The Johnstown flood, May 31st, 1889. The dam across the Conemaugh River had become obsolete and inadequate. During April and May, 41 inches of rain and snow increased the pressures to the breaking point, and a tidal wave of destruction swept through the valley, killing more than 2,000 people. This is the historical fact. Now, if Mrs. Rebecca Owens has other information, we owe her the courtesy of a hearing in Act Two.
Budweiser presents Beer Talk.
When you say Bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
I once asked the Budweiser brewmaster which was best, bottled or draft. He said it depends on what you like. I said I like my Bud in a tall glass with a thick collar of foam. So which was best, bottled or draft? Then he said all Budweiser beer is carefully brewed and slowly beechwood aged the exact same way. So which is best, I asked. Budweiser, he said. Want a cold one? Absolutely, I answered. To which he replied, bottled or draft? I tell you, sometimes you just can't lose.
There is no other one. There's only something left.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Grand opening of Spencer's, 214 West Jackson near Sears Tower. Today and all next week, they will be selling $69.95 to $125 double knit polyester or wool suits, leisure suits, zip-lined raincoats, and quilted jackets for only $29.95, none higher. Famous names, big selection. They're also selling $19.95 to $39.95 cocktail dresses, street and casual dresses, pantsuit tops, blouses, slacks, skirts, and sweaters for only $4.99, none higher. Beautiful fall styles and colors, over 3,000 garments to choose from. Spencer's on Jackson, 214 West Jackson, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Phone 630-9426. The sale ends October 10th.
Beginning of May, 1915. Remember that date. It will be significant. In the exclusive New York club of Dr. Adams Mandeville, Dr. Mandeville is having a very serious conversation with an old friend, Mr. Hector Forbes, the renowned anthropologist. Mr. Forbes is having difficulty believing what Dr. Mandeville is telling him.
Yes, my dear Mandeville. Yes, I remember the Johnstown flood. There are people who can be held responsible. But surely your patient, this Mrs. Rebecca Owen, no, she couldn't be one of them.
But according to her story,
she mentions the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club. It was a group of millionaires who had bought the land from the state. The dam was located on their property. They refused to spend money for any repairs, and the people of Johnstown didn't believe that there was any real danger either. So there's blame enough and to spare for everyone.
And yet, when she talks, you can believe anything she tells you.
You can believe anything she says. You haven't fallen for this lady, have you?
As a matter of fact, I'll get to that. I tell you this story because I have a very important question I want to ask you.
Well, fire away.
Oh, you'll have to hear the rest of the story.
Oh, yes, yes. Especially why she thinks she's to blame for the Johnstown flood.
That's what I asked her.
The flood was on my account.
But why?
It was the only way the Angel of Death could get me. A bullet failed. The bite of a poisonous snake failed. And here was a way that couldn't fail. Or so it seemed. Oh, poor Phil. Philip Dumont, my first beau. I was 15 and I was in love.
the way you can be in love when you're 15. We were out walking. It was the last day of May. Beautiful afternoon. What time is it, Phil?
4:10. Why?
I would like this moment to last forever. This is the supreme moment. This is the happiest moment of my life.
Of mine, too.
Everything's so perfect. What's that?
Thunder, most likely.
Thunder doesn't sound like that.
Well, sure it does.
No, it doesn't. You hear a loud peal of thunder, and then it fades, and then you hear another. This just keeps getting louder.
Rebecca, look!
No!
It's a wave! It's water! It's high as a house!
High as a mountain!
It's coming at us!
Run, Phil, run!
Run, run! It's gonna drown us!
His hand! Take his hand away! It's burning his hand, his icy hand! The angel of death is holding me! He's holding me!
He's holding me, too!
An enormous mountain of water traveling at breakneck speed was sweeping everything in its path. Rocks, trees, animals, houses. Nothing could live that stood in its path. But somehow, I lived. I don't know why. I don't know how. I was surrounded by hundreds of the dead. But I survived. Once again, the fire became cold and the ice warm, and his fingers fell away. Why?
I don't know.
And poor Phil, he was with me, and more than 2,000 others. Was it my fault?
No, of course not.
And how do you explain the fire?
The fire?
The fire in Chicago. That was only 12 years ago. That dreadful conflagration in the Iroquois Theater.
Oh, yes, of course I remember that.
We'd moved to Chicago. Mama and Papa had survived the flood only because they'd gone to Pittsburgh to visit my grandmother. So there was nothing left for us in Johnstown, and Papa was offered a job in Chicago. It didn't matter to me. After the flood, I was like one in a dream. I just stayed in the house, in my room. I went nowhere. I saw no one.
Oh, Papa, you must do something about that girl.
Me?
Well, she won't listen to me.
Well, then take her to a doctor.
Oh, hasn't she seen enough doctors?
Well, what do you want?
She'll be 28 years old.
Make it 30.
Oh, that's even worse. She'll spend the rest of her life this way, an old maid.
Some girls, they don't get married. It's their fate.
Well, it's not going to be her fate. You have to fight it.
Get your coat and hat, young lady.
Papa,
you can't shut out the world forever. We're going to the theater.
I don't want to.
You know why? Because it's medicine. The pills you get from the doctors don't help, so I know another kind of doctor. His name is Eddie Foy, and his cure is a good laugh.
But I'm not in the mood.
You're going to turn down a chance to see Eddie Foy and Mr. Bluebeard? Do you know how hard it was to get tickets?
Please, Papa.
No. Up, up, out.
He was right. The minute I stepped into that theater, a great weight seemed to disappear from my heart. I felt youthful and carefree. The music, the dances, the jokes. I was laughing and applauding, and then suddenly, in the very midst of it, at the very height of it, I felt the fingers on my arm. The icy fingers. The burning fingers. And I said, no. What do you want with me now? What will you do to me here? Please. And then I heard the most dreadful cry in the world in the theater.
Fire! 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 For almost a second, there was a deathly stillness. And then there was a panic. More than 2,000 well-dressed, civilized people were transformed into raging, mindless, stampeding animals. And when it was over, finally, almost 600 were dead.
Yes, I read about it. The fire actually did very little damage, I recall. Most people were trampled to death.
Papa died to save me. He saw we couldn't make it to the exit, and so he protected me with his body.
I'm sorry.
Papa left the world, but I came back to it. Mama became ill, and it was up to me to support us. I learned how to use a typewriter and to write in shorthand. And soon I secured a position as the secretary to a Mr. Walter Owen. He was middle-aged, very proper, but kind, most generous employer. Mama became better, but she was quite sad. I think I'll have some soup, Mum. Mama? You're crying.
No, I'm not. Rebecca, I do want you to have a life of your own.
I'm content.
But you'll never have a husband. You'll never have children.
I don't want anybody close to me.
Rebecca, that's not natural.
Please, let's not talk about it.
But a husband, children, they would make you happy.
Yes, Mama. Very happy. But I couldn't make them happy.
Why not?
Because they die. They die young before their time.
What are you saying?
Nothing. I don't want to talk about it anymore. We plan our lives. But it isn't we who decide our destiny. The ordinary give and take of daily living wears us, shapes us, changes us, and we may not even be aware of it. One morning, Mr. Owen asked me to come into his private office.
Miss Randolph, you have been my secretary for 5 years now.
Yes, sir.
I have never seen a more devoted, conscientious, and efficient person.
Thank you, sir.
I find, Miss Randolph, that I would be lost without you. You are a treasure.
Oh, really, Mr. Owen?
No. A treasure is something that a man must guard securely. If you were a stock or a bond or a bill or a jewel, I would shut you up in a vault, lest you be lost or stolen.
I'm not sure I understand.
Miss Randolph, will you marry me?
Marry?
Yes. We could be quite happy together.
Oh, but Mr. Owen, I'm not in love with you.
No, we are not children. Love to us is not a sudden, intoxicating adventure. We can marry without it.
Marry? Without love?
Yes. Marry without love, at first. Marry because we respect, admire, and need each other. Now, we are both lonely people. I know in my heart that love will come to us.
All day at the office, he would ask me to marry him. He enlisted Mama's help, and then all night at home, it was more of the same.
Oh, he's handsome, kind, intelligent. Oh, he's devoted to you. And he's rich.
Mama, I will not marry him.
But why?
I could never explain it to you. I will not marry him, and that is my last word. But it wasn't. Little by little, in so many subtle and gradual ways, the pressure, the constant pressure, told on me, and suddenly, before I knew it, I was in his arms saying, yes, yes.
Oh, my darling, my darling.
And so we were married. It was the event of the social season of 1911. I knew Walter was rich, but I didn't know how rich. He had as much money, as much influence, as much power as the biggest of them, the Carnegies, the Morgans, the Fricks, the Mellons. They were all there at my wedding. Mr. Andrew Carnegie himself took my hand and wished me well. Kindly looking man. And suddenly, I knew I had seen him before. I heard a voice
same voice I had heard 38 years before when I was a little girl on my father's farm in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Look out, Andy! Look out! Oh, good Lord, Andy, you killed her!
The South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club, the Millionaires Club. All these great men were members of that club. And they might have been out hunting the day the dam burst, when I was 5 years old. Andy, the man who had evoked the warning, the man who had accidentally fired the shot. Andy. Could he have been Andrew Carnegie? I looked into his eyes. I couldn't tell.
My dearest, may I present Mr. Andrew Carnegie?
I'm honored, Mr. Carnegie.
Oh, such a sweet lass, Walter. She's a treasure.
Yes, I think so.
Do you know, dear Mrs. Owen, it seems to me you look familiar.
Do I, sir?
I have seen you before. Or is it perhaps an old man's reverie? Well, be happy, both of you. No, be happy.
Yes, we have met before. On my father's land in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, when I was a little farm girl. But somehow that seemed out of place. And as I looked at Mr. Carnegie, and at Walter, and at all the other giants, I realized I was no longer afraid of anything. I belonged to one of these men. We went to Europe on our honeymoon. We saw palaces in Italy and castles in Spain. We waltzed in Vienna, marveled at the Louvre, and finally decided to come home. I was so happy.
Yes, I can imagine.
I was happy, but I was also apprehensive.
Why?
Well, I was never really able to free myself completely of my fear, so I dreaded the trip home.
Darling, I know how you feel, but it...
But what, Walter?
But this is a brand new ship. A ship the like of which has never been seen. It's a floating palace.
But still, if anything...
Most important. They say she's constructed on a completely new principle. There's incontrovertible scientific proof that she is unsinkable.
Oh, Walter.
She leaves on Friday on her maiden voyage to New York. And I've already booked passage for us.
Oh, how exciting. What's her name?
The Titanic.
On April 15th, 1912, a minute before midnight, the Titanic struck a killer iceberg some 2,000 miles from New York with the loss of some 1,500 lives. Among the casualties... Oh, now I shall have to stop this business of anticipating the story. We still have a third act.
Until now, a do-it-yourselfer needed a vise to hold his work, a workbench to hold a vise, and the space to fit the workbench. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that True Value Hardware Stores can help you change all that. With the Black & Decker Workmate, it's a portable all-purpose workbench, vise, and more. It adjusts to hold wedge-shaped objects, pipe, even irregular and bulky items like bicycles for repair. Yet it weighs just 32 pounds and folds to the size of a collapsed lawn chair, so you can take the workbench to the work. See the Workmate portable all-purpose workbench at True Value Hardware Stores. And while you're there, check out their selection of Black & Decker power tools, like the 3/8-inch power drill. It drills through 3/8-inch steel or 3/4-inch hardwood. It's double insulated for electrical safety, and it's just $9.88. Black & Decker tools are just some of the values at participating True Value hardware stores. True Value, it's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business.
Now, no matter where you live in the Great Northwest Territory, there's a Northwest Federal Savings Center nearby. Because now there are 5 Northwest Federal doors that open to savings. We're celebrating with over 30 eye-opening gifts. All name brand items like a Waterpik water purifier or a Presto Minute Burger, Webster's new collegiate dictionary,
and outdoor sweepers, alarm clocks, and cookie makers. And they're free or at greatly reduced prices when you save $250 or more at any Northwest Federal Savings Center. Now in 5 convenient locations and open 63 hours a week. You can save before work, Monday through Friday, all day Wednesday, Friday evenings until 8, Saturdays until 5. But take advantage of this gift celebration at the Northwest Federal Savings Center nearest you soon. Because this gift opportunity lasts only until October the 11th, 1976. One gift per family, please.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Dr. Adams Mandeville, a New York psychiatrist, is at his club talking with his friend Hector Forbes. The subject of the discussion is, as you know, his patient, a woman named Mrs. Owen. And what can we say about Mrs. Owen other than she must be the victim of the most extraordinary string of coincidences in history?
Are we perhaps, Doctor, in some psychic area? Is it possible she is not a human being?
No, she's human, completely human. Human and lovely. She continued to see me over a several-week period. And each time I saw her, I fell more and more deeply in love. Rebecca, darling.
No. Oh, please, Doctor.
You can't call a man doctor after he calls you darling.
I must leave you and never return again.
Why?
Oh, don't you know why?
Oh, it isn't true. Everything you've been telling me about the angel of death.
How can you say that? I felt him. I felt his touch.
No, darling.
You can't convince me. I let poor Walter convince me, and he's dead today.
Walter would have died in any event.
He died because the angel of death came for me.
There is no such being.
Oh, you say that to me? To me? I'm 41 years old.
And you don't look a day over 25.
Be serious. And 5 times in my life, I have felt his presence in my body. 5 times, I have felt his hand on my arm. 5 times he's held me in his grasp.
Yes, I know you've said that.
And the last time. The last time was the worst time of all. He was so determined to have me, he destroyed the greatest ship in the world to get me. Oh, I can hear the music. It was such a gay, wonderful party. I was dancing with Walter.
Happy, darling?
Oh, yes.
See, I told you. Everything would be all right.
I don't know if it's you or the ship, but I feel so safe, so secure.
It's both of us, darling. Nothing but happy and wonderful thoughts from now on. Let me get you a glass of champagne.
He walked to the refreshment table, and I lost sight of him in the crowd, and I never saw him again. Because at that moment, I felt the fingers, the icy fingers of the angel. The angel of death. And I screamed. No! The music stopped. Everyone turned to look at me. Was I mad? And then there was the most terrible, grinding roar as if some monstrous animal had ripped the entire bottom out of the boat. The next thing I remember, I was on board the rescue ship, Carpathia. But 1,500 others had died. And Walter.
And Walter had perished.
And now you tell me it isn't my fault.
Yes, I do.
How?
All the evidence proves nothing. Oh, listen to me, my darling. Let me tell you what this is. It's the law of averages.
Oh, no, that's not good enough. The touch of the angel of death. It was real.
But of course it was real.
Then you agree.
It was real to you.
Oh, my darling Rebecca, we're only now beginning to understand the mind, to comprehend its fantastic complexity.
Then why was it real?
Because you wanted to be punished.
Punished for what?
For disobeying your mother.
When?
That day when you were told not to go into the woods. You remember that day? That day when you were 5 years old and your mother took you aside and... What was it she said to you over and over again?
She said...
You're not to go into the woods. You are not to leave the house. If you disobey, you will be punished. Severely punished. Punished.
Punished.
That's right.
Punished.
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 But you did disobey, didn't you?
Yes.
And Rebecca, you were not punished. And then because you were almost killed, you were rewarded. You were fussed over and coddled and spoiled.
Yes.
And all the time you knew that you were to blame. You remember the face of the man who had shot you. You could see his agony and his anguish.
Oh, please.
No. This is necessary, dear. You look for death. You seek him out. You court him. You spin fantasies about him. Oh, darling, there is no angel of death except in romantic mysteries.
But I...
Face it, and your whole world will be changed.
Oh, I never looked at it that way.
Oh, my darling. We'll go to England on our honeymoon.
I'd like you to meet Mama.
Oh, well, of course.
Could you leave now? I bought Mama a house in Ossining. It's up on the Hudson River. Oh, let's tell her today.
Well, certainly. Let's see, it's 10:30 now. I have some hospital calls to make at 11, so I should be free by noon.
We can get the train at 1 o'clock. Meet me on board. I'll be sitting in the last passenger coach.
1 o'clock on the Ossining train, the last coach.
Yes, it's the only one that isn't a smoker.
That was 2 weeks ago, Forbes.
Well, evidently you made the trip in good shape. I see you're here and none the worse.
Hmm. You don't know what happened 2 weeks ago on the railroad. You see, I was delayed at the hospital, and when I arrived at the station, the train had already pulled out.
Well, you missed it, yes.
Yes, and the train had traveled some 25 miles to a place called Tarrytown when there was an accident.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Yes, some switching instructions had gone wrong, and an express train plunged into the rear of the Ossining local.
The rear car?
It was completely demolished. There were 5 passengers. 4 were killed immediately. But the 5th...
Rebecca...
suffered only from shock and a very few superficial bruises.
He exists. He is real. He came to me again. He came looking for me aboard that train. He came for me. I felt his hand, his fingers.
The fire, the ice.
You mustn't make fun of me. What I say is true.
Of course it's true.
Don't humor me.
It is true.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
And the angel of death exists.
I'm very much afraid he does.
Then it's over. It must be over between us.
I love you and I want to marry you.
You must never see me again. I don't want you to die because of me.
And I don't want to live without you.
Oh, darling, please. You're a doctor. Be sensible.
Oh, I'm in love, so that's impossible.
Face reality.
Reality is that I love you.
Reality is that if you had been with me on that train, you would be dead now.
Ah, but I wasn't with you.
And next time we won't be so lucky.
I wasn't with you on the train. That's it. That's how to do it.
No, it won't.
Yes, it's how to reduce the odds. That's how to fight the old boy. That's how to put him in his place.
But I still...
We must never travel together. We must never board the same boat, the same train. We must never go to crowded places where disasters can strike. Theaters, restaurants, concerts.
But I never go anyhow. But you can't shut yourself away.
Rebecca, I don't need crowds. I only need you. So we shall live by ourselves, quietly, carefully, in safety. Do you see?
Yes, I see now. And if he comes for me again, let him come for me alone.
To a house that will be stone so it can't burn.
Or steel, and then it can't fall apart.
Away from rivers and floods.
Away from forests and fires.
Now. Now will you marry me, darling?
Yes.
Rebecca and I were married the day before yesterday.
Well, congratulations. Well, how does it happen you're not off on your honeymoon?
Oh, we're going to London, where we shall also take in the conference. I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Well, you're off on a honeymoon, and you say I'm leaving?
Well, naturally, separate ships. It's the only way we can travel.
Oh, yes, of course.
Rebecca sailed this morning on the Imperia, and I had to look around for something at the last moment.
Yes, well, on such short notice, you'd be lucky to find a berth on a tramp steamer.
Oh, I did considerably better than that. There was a last-minute cancellation, and I was able to get a cabin on what many people consider the most comfortable ocean liner afloat.
Oh, really? Which one is that?
The Lusitania.
The Lusitania. On May 7th, 1915, at approximately 2 p.m., the German killer submarine, the U-20... fired its torpedoes into the Cunard liner Lusitania. The ship blew up and sank almost immediately. About 2,000 people lost their lives, among them an American physician, Dr. Adams Mandeville of New York City. I shall return in just a few moments.
At the Openly Suzer Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Openly Suzer Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Openly Suzer.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Openly Suzer, a great new little car at your Buick Opel dealers.
If your attic has less than 6 inches of insulation on the floor, you're being robbed every day without ever knowing it. To stop the under-insulation robber and possibly save up to 30% on the cost of fuel to heat and cool your home, inspect your attic. Then see your neighborhood CertainTeed building materials dealer or insulation contractor. CertainTeed fiberglass attic insulation will stop that robber once and for all.
Tired of deodorant sprays that seem to miss their mark? Want something powerful you can put on in the dark? Shift to the English leather stick. The stick shift is on. English leather's got the stick that'll always protect you. With the English leather scent, they'll never forget you. Oh, shift to the English leather stick. The stick shift is on.
There are three good reasons to shift from an expensive deodorant spray to English leather deodorant stick.
One!
English leather goes right where you want it, so there's no waste.
Two!
It's concentrated to give powerful protection.
But the best reason of all is right under your nose!
The famous fresh clean scent of English leather.
English leather's got the stick that'll always protect you. With the English leather scent, they'll never forget you. Are shipped to the English leather stick. The stick shift is on.
Look for the English leather deodorant stick at your favorite toiletries counter.
The old soldiers, as we told you in the beginning, are worried mostly about the bullet marked "to whom it may concern." That's because they know something few of us pause to consider. They realize how unpredictable is fate, how random is chance, how impersonal is providence, how hard it is to live, and how easy to die. And if life perplexes and puzzles you, take comfort. No one has been able to figure it out yet. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Ian Martin, Bryna Rayburn, Bob Dryden, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and CertainTeed Fiberglass Attic Insulation. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Have a phone in just about every room without waiting or paying for installation. True Value Hardware Store offers telephone extension cords, jacks, and plugs from Pacific Electric Cord. Attach them to your phone and walls, and you can carry the phone with you from room to room for greater privacy and convenience. It's almost like having a phone in every room. True Value Hardware Stores offer plugs that fit any standard phone and jacks you can mount on your walls and attach to incoming lines. Get several so you can use your phone in the many different rooms. True Value Hardware Stores also offer 25-foot phone extension cords from Pacific Electric Cord. Choose the wire-in type or the plug-in type for jack outlets. Enjoy the luxury of having a phone in every room. Get Pacific Electric Cord jacks, plugs, and extension cords at participating True Value Hardware Stores. True Value, more than just a name, it's their way of doing business. WBBM News Time is 11:23.
CBS News. China is holding a mass memorial service for Chairman Mao Zedong. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It's Saturday afternoon in the Chinese capital where a huge rally takes place a short time from now. Barry Kelb has a report from Hong Kong.
Foreigners in Peking estimate there will be up to 1 million people in Tiananmen Square. And people all over the nation will be able to watch or listen to an unprecedented live television and radio broadcast. No foreigners will be allowed in the square. They've been told to stay at home and watch the show on television. Guests in Peking's tourist hotels have been ordered to stay inside between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. The ceremony begins at 3 p.m. and is due to start with a 3-minute period of silence. All over the nation, people are to stand at silent attention while sirens, bells, and whistles blow. There was rioting in Tiananmen Square last April, a sign of the factional power struggle that had already begun to determine Mao's successors. No trouble is expected today, but just to make sure, the people of Peking were warned against any such acts last night. Barry Kalb, CBS News, Hong Kong.
More news in a moment.
The Model T, the first V8, first wagon with a three-way gate, Mustang, Pinto, Granada too, and now just look what Ford can do.
October 1st, Ford will present a whole range of better ideas for 77. A totally new Thunderbird priced thousands less than before. A full-size LTD that kept its size. A trim new LTD 2 with the spirit of Mustang 2. Granada gets overdrive standard, and there'll be a sportier-looking, sporty-handling Pinto. Ford's better ideas for 77. Test drive one of them starting October 1st. Four newsmen with the Fresno, California Bee were released Friday night after serving 14 days in jail for refusing to reveal their source in a news story. The judge agreed with testimony at a hearing in which it was claimed the four were determined not to reveal the source and that keeping them in jail longer would serve no purpose. One of the four who had been jailed, Fresno Bee reporter James Bott, said the newsmen made their point.
We have maintained the integrity of our source, and I think that's important to be remembered. We have established in this hearing, I believe, that there is a journalistic ethic, That is all pervasive in these cases.
Bott and the other Fresno newsmen refused to reveal where they obtained grand jury testimony, which led to the indictment of a city councilman last year. The House voted Friday to launch new investigations into the murders of President Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Democrat Thomas Downing of Virginia has long been a backer of moves to reopen these cases. Downing says new probes should have taken place before now.
I wish that we had had this authority 2 or 3 years ago because the evidence is fast disappearing. But we feel there's still sufficient evidence, there's still sufficient witnesses who we can subpoena and bring here to testify, who will, I think, unfold the real story behind the assassination of these two men.
Downing says he's convinced that in the case of President Kennedy's murder, a conspiracy was involved. The Navy says it will try to recover an F-14 Tomcat, the newest and best of its carrier-based fighter planes. The aircraft is lying on the ocean floor off Scotland. It carries some secret weaponry. The plane rolled into the sea from the flight deck of the carrier John F. Kennedy on Tuesday. There are reports that a Soviet cruiser is in the area, possibly marking the location for a Russian salvage attempt. A spokesman for Secretary of State Kissinger characterized as constructive Kissinger's 5-hour talk in Pretoria with South African Prime Minister John Forster. More violence broke out Friday as Kissinger arrived in South Africa for a weekend of talks. Reports say as many as 8 blacks were shot by riot control police in the black township of Sweto outside Johannesburg. The coalition government of Finland resigned Friday after failing to reach agreement on a budget. President Urho Kekkonen accepted the resignations, but asked current leaders to stay on until a new government is formed. Now this.
Hear ye, hear ye. Hear our next big bicentennial weekend special, The World Looks at America. CBS News correspondent Charles Collingwood is anchorman for 30 broadcasts, reporting on the opinions and observations of presidents, prime ministers, educators, editors, and other prominent figures. Learn what they think about us in our next weekend special, The World Looks at America, September 18th and 19th, here on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Charles Osgood, CBS News. Join me on Newsbreak, mornings on most of these CBS Radio Network stations, as we explore this curious world of ours. Some days, I'll pick a major news story to explore in further detail. Other days, it may be a person who did not exactly make the headlines, but whose story is noteworthy in the course of human events. Newsbreak, one of the many broadcasts of news and commentary, along with hourly CBS News, updates to the minute, on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
At Palmdale, California, Rockwell International has unveiled the nation's first commuter space vehicle. The vehicle, half rocket and half airplane, is designed to make more than 100 round trips into space starting in the next decade. It will land on solid ground rather than in the ocean. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Weather Command says we have a pretty nice weekend coming up. For the rest of the night, partly cloudy and cool with a low of near 53 degrees, but a bit warmer near the lake. And then on Saturday, partly sunny and mild. The high will be about 77 degrees. We have a 10% chance of rain on Saturday. That goes up to a 30% chance of rain on Sunday, when it will be mostly sunny and warmer. The winds will be diminishing to light and variable tonight. They'll be variable 5 to 10 miles an hour during the day on Saturday. For the next 5 days, temperatures will average 1 to 3 degrees above the normal high of 74 and the normal low of 55. Moisture, lightest showers Monday and Tuesday. Current temperatures at O'Hare, 58. It's 66 degrees at the lakefront, 63 at Midway. The humidity is 73%. The wind is from the north at 5 miles an hour.
We're those news people. CBS Radio for the Midwest. News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
WBBM News Time, 11:30. Frank Bernard with you at the anchor desk. Our writer-producer is Francine Bartolacci. Our writer is Leon Colvin. And these are among the stories we're watching for you tonight. Members of the International Machinists and Aerospace Workers Union have gone on strike against Transworld Airlines. The House Judiciary Subcommittee has approved a bill to create a temporary special prosecutor to probe alleged wrongdoing by government officials. The president of CBS News says the network is considering boycotting the planned televised debates between President Ford and Jimmy Carter unless some rule changes are made. A senior American official says Secretary of State Kissinger has put off any decision on whether to meet with Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith this coming weekend. Locally, the Illinois Senate is adjourned until Saturday morning when it and the House meet for a showdown vote on Governor Walker's proposed tax collection speed-up, increased school aid program. Expecting a tough fight, the governor has agreed to meet with Republican and Democratic leaders prior to the session to try and convince them to go along with the proposal. The Seventh Circuit Court has gone along with a lower court order which forces the village of Skokie to reinstate 32 patrol officers who were fired for taking part in a uniform strike last year. Details of these and other stories throughout the night and the day on WBBM News Radio 78. For over 19 years, Arco American has been telling it like it is. More often as not, you may have paid far too much for quality auto insurance. A survey published in the Chicago Tribune dramatically substantiates this claim by Arco American. The article states that you could save up to 75% in auto insurance premiums if you shopped for it. Arco American has the time and knowledge to do that, and they're good at it. They're professionals with expertise to offer fantastic savings to the qualified buyer. Call ES9-4677 for your phone quotation. There's no obligation, and the savings could amount to hundreds of dollars for you. Remember the number, ES94677. At Arco American, all insurance plans are available with a low down payment and easy monthly installments. Arco, that's AARCO American, is open weekdays till 8 p.m. Let Arco American save you money on your insurance needs. Call ES94677. WBBM News Time is now 11:32. Members of the International Machinists and Aerospace Workers are now officially on strike against Transworld Airlines.